Now you're good. That's why you get someone else to do your work for you. You don't look so bad after that. I'd just like to thank you for welcoming us. When we come back here, we don't feel like visitors at all. We seem to know everybody, and we really appreciate your prayer support, financial support, and just keeping in contact with us. And we think very much that we can come back to a church and feel like you're part of our team, even though you don't want to live with us in the sunny south or the cold north. But we have a display outside. We have lots of literature there for you to make yourself available to and take it with you. We have some tribal trails tapes, or I shouldn't call them tapes, they're DVDs. But my wife will be out there, so if you want one of those to watch or to pass on or to do both, please take as much as you want to take. And if there's the last one there, you can take the last one. Don't mind that at all. I do have a calendar, our Tribal Trails calendar. If you want a calendar or if you can use, we have a lot of them, so go ahead and take as many as you want. They're free. And also, if you take anything, take this one. This one talks about what we do as a mission, Northern Kent Evangelical Mission, and what we're involved with. Every page talks about a different ministry that we're involved with. And I'm just going to show you this page. If you come to this page, just ignore this one, okay? For those people who don't want to read a whole thing, you don't have to read this one. This is a program that we had started, and it just never got off the ground. It was for teenagers and young adults. It just never flew, and it wasn't, I guess God didn't want us to have this, so don't worry about that page. Just skip that when you get to it. It's the only one that's orange, so skip by that. But it's a good document about what we're doing as a mission. And there's also another brochure. It's called Worldview, and I tried to look for more of them. I think we're down to just a few. My wife will have to go and see if she can find some more somewhere else where she hides them on me. But that one talks about how we work as a mission. What do we do when we get into a village? And maybe some of you are wondering, what does a missionary do? How does a missionary mish? That's not really a real word, but you understand it. And as we go into villages and go into programs, this is what we do as a mission. This is how we get the word out about the gospel. So if you're interested in knowing how we do our work as missionaries, it's called Worldview. And they can pick that up on our display as well. I'd like to show this map that we have here this morning, because for people that I've been working with, for those you don't know, we're now living down in Cambridge, which is just outside of Toronto, but for them, Canada's right down here. And they don't believe that Canada's this huge. And when you look at all those dots on the map, they do not represent where we have missionaries. That would be nice, but we don't have that many. But it represents different settlements, and the different colors talk about the different tribal groups. Until you get to the purple one, this is where I'm kind of familiar more with, working with the Inuit people, and you can see how far the Inuit are spread across the north. The green are more or less representing of the Cree. The pinkish ones here are talking about Dog Rib and Chippewa, Slavey, that kind of area. And then we got the Montagnais that are sort of the Cree family down here. And these are people groups that, as a mission, these four different people groups, we're trying to really concentrate our efforts on. And when we look at this whole big map, we as a mission, we have to think, where are we going to start our work? Because it's huge. It's a lot of work going on. And when we think about Canada and we think about what other missions are working among Native people in Canada, there's about 7 or 8 missions. But our mission is the only one that's working from coast to coast to coast across the map of Canada. And as you can see, it is a very large section to deal with. So we've concentrated our areas on the Inuit people in northern Quebec. We're concentrating our areas over here with the Dog Rib people, the Chippewa, the Dene, and over in this area too. And a fourth region we're looking at is down here, the Montagnais, Mi'kmaq people. And that's where we feel that we need to get the gospel out to these areas, and we're looking at geographically or sociographically areas where people tend to go to a lot. And if we can get those people to go back to their villages and start churches in their own villages. This is our goal. Our goal is not to keep sending white people up north, but our goal is to get those people to proclaim to their own people. And of course, for us as white people to go up north, as some of you have been up north, it's different. It's not the same as tenants. And it takes a different kind of mentality to work with those kind of people. And some people say, oh, Dave, I could never go up that far north. I said, well, God hasn't called you there. He's called you here. But there are people that He has called to go up north. And as we've been traveling around, we've been in the States and in Canada in our new ministry of doing personal recruitment. We've heard a lot of other different missions, and they keep pushing this 1040 window. You've probably heard of it, the unreached people. And when you think about it, they look at these places, and there's even a website out there that talks about the top 500 unreached people groups in the world. And so I took a look at this list, and I went to the first 100, and then I went to the last 100. I said 500 is 5,000, sorry. Went to the last 500 on the list, and I started reading about the last 500, or last 100 on this list. And they were all talking about deaf communities. And when I looked at the list, again, they were the same communities in the same places that were in the first 100 on the list. And I said, okay, where are you getting all your numbers from? Where are you looking at all this? And then I realized they are looking at numbers and not regions. People think Canada is a reached people group. And when you look at their maps, you look at Canada, Canada comes up green because it is a reached area. We don't have to go there. We need to go to the red places where there aren't people there. But unfortunately, when they're talking about Canada, they're just talking about that little section very close to the border of the United States. They're not looking at the north. And if I could say to those people and to you, this represents to me the forgotten people of Canada, the forgotten people that God has created. And people, they'd much rather go to Puerto Rico, they'd much rather go to Costa Rica, go to Africa, go to Brazil, because these places are nice and warm. We don't have to worry about shoveling. And I met summer this morning, so there is summer up here. But I remember we were in a Moody Bible Institute and presenting our work there, and we're talking to a girl, and she found out that we were working up in northern Canada. And, of course, in the States, Canada is cold all year round. And she said, oh, I could never go up north. I said, are you telling God what you're going to do? And she quickly took a step backwards and said, well, no, but I don't want to go Canada. I said, you know what happens when you tell God no? In a matter of a few minutes, she was ready to commit to God to wherever she wants her to go. And that's one thing is, as we left the field, and it was hard to leave the field. I'm sure Wally has told you about the kids up north and how his heart goes out to those kids. And it's hard when I come in here and Wally's put up pictures of the kids' faces, and to you, they're just faces of kids. You don't know them. But for us, they're part of us. In fact, when those kids, when we're leaving, they wanted to get into our suitcases. And I'll tell you what, if it would have been possible, we would have taken our stuff out and put the kids in and brought them down if we could get away with it. Those kids, when I look at each one of those kids, with the personalities they have and the attachment they've had with us, it was very tough to leave them behind. And if it wasn't for God, we would have been questioning ourselves all over the world about, is this what you really want us to do? But knowing that God has called us out, it makes it easier. But we also had to realize, and God's been showing me this, we talk about my ministry, our efforts. And I keep thinking, no, it's God's ministry. Sometimes we think we need to, shall we say, help out God. And yes, God wants us to serve Him. But sometimes we get in the way of God by trying to do things for people and not letting God be God. So we left those people behind, and we left them very much in God's hands, knowing that God can take care of them a whole lot better than I can. And as much as my heart and Wally's heart and the rest of the mission teams goes out to those kids as much as they would just love to stuff them in their suitcase and send them down. God has them there for a purpose. And that's hard for us to understand because we don't see the whole picture. We just see the here and now. And so we're trusting that God will take care of those kids, and we know that God will take care of those kids. And we would be happy if sometime in the future someone taps us on the back of the shoulder when we're down south at Cambridge and says, "Hey, Dave, you remember me?" And I said, "No way." And he said, "Yeah, way. I'm going to Bible college now." And it's like, wow, that would be really great for us to hear. But that's our dreams, but we leave that in God's hands. And it's a tough thing, you know, for us to walk off the mission field and then walk into this new ministry. I tell people, I said, that was one thing I really never had an inkling to do, was to go in and to promote the mission and to go into all these churches and Bible schools and talk about mission work. I'd rather be on the field doing that than having to go out and tell people about the mission. I was very grateful for the people that we had doing that for me, so I didn't have to. And as I was talking about that girl saying, "I'll never go north," and I said, "I'll never be PR," and guess where I am. And I'm not, shall I say, sorry about it, because I know God has led us this way, and God will take care of us as well. And in the short time we have been working in this area of the mission, we just had last Tuesday a fellow on one of the campuses come up to us and say, I want to hear more about Northern Canadian Evangelical Mission. I'm thinking about going up north as a missionary." And it's like, wow, this is already a short time and we've already got, shall I say, one bite on the line. And it's really neat to see that. Wednesday we were with our colleagues who are also into a PR. They're kind of on their way out and we're kind of taking their place. But the wife said to me, says, "Dave, is it really important what we're doing with PR? Is it really helping? Is it really benefiting?" And they've been in the work for 10 plus years. And I said to her, I said, "You know, God wouldn't call us off the field to put us into PR if it wasn't going anywhere." And I said, "The other thing is that they have someone like ourselves that they have brought into the mission." I said, "You've got this lady, Karen, and she depends on you guys because you're the first contact to the mission. When they think of NCM, they think of you. And so you do represent the mission. You are her contact for what's going on in the mission." And they kind of disagree with it. And afterwards, yeah, you're right. And so we, as PR people, we do have a great impact on the people that we work with. As we introduce them to the mission, we're sort of their intermediator and to help them to get established to where God wants them to go in the fields that we have to work in Canada. This morning I'd like to take a look at Acts chapter 1 and show you how that applies to the work that we do every day. Not just Joy and I, but you as well. So just turn to Acts chapter 1. And I want to read verses 4 through 9. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.' Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight." Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we really want to see your glory being poured out on this earth. We want to see your name being lifted high, and we want to see your kingdom come to this earth, and we want to see your throne established over all the earth. But Lord, you have us in this time, and you have us here for a purpose. And so, Lord, this morning, may your Spirit work among our heart, and allow us to see your path
that you've asked us to call, and may we be faithful to follow you. Amen. This passage is probably not a passage that you have heard too many times in the pulpit, but verse 8 you've probably heard many times, and you've probably memorized it. But when we put in the context of what was going on at the time, this was Jesus talking to his disciples. And it comes to the end of the 40 days that he's been on earth after his death and resurrection. And he's appeared to many people. The Bible says over 500 people. And now he's talking to the disciples, and he tells the disciples, I want you to wait here in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. And what we don't really see here is, where was the disciples' hearts? Where were the disciples' minds? A few months before, Jesus had gone into Jerusalem on a donkey, which kind of represented the new king coming in to take reign over Jerusalem and bring Israel back together again and set up the kingdom that was promised to David, that the Jews have been looking for this Messiah, and now that Jesus had died, that kind of dashed all their dreams. It's over. The Messiah failed. It's no good anymore. All this that we've been following. That's why Peter felt like he had really messed up the works. He made one mistake too many and ruined the whole thing. And he runs off and, you know, buries himself in grief. And after Jesus resurrects from the dead, oh, everything's back on again. But Peter goes out fishing because he doesn't feel worthy. And Jesus calls him back to be his disciple and to say that everything's on track. So here's Jesus walking around for 40 days on earth showing to different people, and they're thinking, the disciples are thinking, oh, this is neat. This is cool. People are going to see that this is really God. And we would like to see in our day and age these kind of miracles to prove to people that we talk to that God is very real. That look at what God's doing. And unfortunately, even if God were to perform the miracles today, they still wouldn't believe. And as Jesus told the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man asked Abraham to send someone back to tell my brothers. And they said, even if they should come back from the dead, they still won't believe. Even though Jesus is resurrected from the dead, they still won't believe. Lazarus coming back from the dead, they still won't believe. And here we are today talking about this Jesus that people would like to say died, just a good man, but he died and that's it, it's over, this thing's dead. And yet what about the 500 people that saw Jesus walking around? And we would kind of attribute that today, if we as non-believers attribute to that, the same thing as UFOs. Oh, you're just seeing things. They're just funny things that happen, but it was probably someone that you recognized, but really wasn't that person. But the disciples here are being told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem. We like that word wait, don't we? When it comes to going to work, we love to wait for that. But yeah, that word wait, that's not an easy word. And working with a lot of new Christians, they're all energetic and ready to run and ready to take this gospel out to the whole world. And we see new Christians, they go out and they start proclaiming what's happened to their lives. And then they slowly say, nobody's listening. And they kind of slow down and they kind of become like the rest of us, kind of waiting for our time to be used. And we like to see that fervor. We like to see that dedication, that there's been a change in their life and they're excited about it. But it's just like winning $1,000. It's exciting to you, but to everyone else, it's like, oh, I wish it was me. But they don't really get too excited because you won it, not them. Disciples are told to wait. And what are the disciples thinking? And they say here what they're thinking. Lord, when will you set up your kingdom to Israel? When will Israel be the big nation on the earth again? When will people look at Israel and see God? Is this going to happen now? This is what they're thinking. We're going to wait. And this Holy Spirit, whoever He is, He's going to come and He's going to and we're going to have this big nation again. Wipe out the Romans, and we're going to be setting up and being the top people of the world again. And of course, you remember James and John's mother talking to Jesus about who's going to be on your right and who's going to be on your left. This is what's still going on in their head. Maybe this is still going to happen. Well, we waited, and the Holy Spirit did come, not many days after, as Jesus said. But since the Holy Spirit has come, we have been waiting, and we've been waiting for Christ to come in His glory and to show Himself here on earth. But while we're waiting, God has given us something. I think we really overlooked this verse, and I want to look at verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. We have the Holy Spirit now, and because we have the Holy Spirit, we have power. How many of us feel that power? We kind of go through our life and thinking like, okay, Lord, you're Lord and you're God. I'm following in your steps, but I can't do anything without you. And we forget about the power that we have. And, you know, some people look at the charismatic, and I think of this charismatic power where they go around healing people and trying to deliver spirits and like this. But I tell you, you have power because of the Holy Spirit. As we went into villages and as we worked among the people, we didn't realize the power that we had because we don't talk about power. We talk about the power to overcome sin, but we don't talk about the power that we have as ambassadors for Christ. When we walk into this world, we're not just a nobody, especially in front of Satan. We are not a nobody. We have power because we have the Holy Spirit. Where we take the Holy Spirit, we shine as lights. And some of us don't shine as bright as others because we don't use the power that we have. And I think of electronics, and we're all wanting to have the biggest and the best. You know, you get the, used to be when I was growing up, they used to have what they called hi-fi, and then they went to stereo, and then quadraphonic, and now they've gone back to earbuds. But the idea was to have the loudest machine so that when you turned on your stereo, everybody had to listen to your music. And the bigger the bass, the better, because it was power. Some of us are like that. We've got our earbuds in, and we're tuned into God, and God's just speaking to us, but we're not really speaking to other people. Because we don't feel adequate. We don't feel that we're worthy. Who are we to talk about God? Look at my life. My life doesn't... I don't have great stories to tell. I don't have those experiences to share with people. I don't have anything to get excited about. And we take Christianity with us, but we kind of turn the power down. We just say, well, we're just a little speaker. We can't be out there pushing out the gospel. We have full amperage. We have the ability to speak to the whole world. But we don't think we have the ability or the right to use that power. And so we limit the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about that as quenching the Holy Spirit. We're just turning down God because we don't want to use that power. And yet, when Satan looks at us and he sees God living in us, he trembles. And what does Satan do to knock our power switch down to low setting? It makes us feel unworthy. Dave, how do you expect to get up in front of all these people and tell them something that they need to hear? Who are you to be the one to tell that for God? What makes you so righteous that you can go up and tell other people about God? You can't do that. You're not adequate. You've got sin in your life. You know, when Christ died for us, all that sin that we had committed, all that sin we're going to commit, all that sin that we're involved in right now, God died for all that. And when we stand before God, God doesn't see us as a filthy, rotten sinner, but He sees us as perfect. Are you perfect? Raise your hand. Okay, we got some perfect people out there. Guess what? When you stand before God as a Christian, you are perfect. God doesn't see any blemish in you. You are totally, totally holy and pure. Because you know, before you stand before God, you cannot be anything but holy and pure. And if you can go to God and if you can pray to God and God hears you, you are holy and pure. And you are perfect. And you may not look like perfection in front of other people, but in front of God, as a child of God, you are perfect. And God made you the way you are, and He put you in the place that you are in to do the work that He wants you to do. And that He has given you the power to do so. We have the power, but we don't use it. John and I were at a place down in near Rochester, New York, and we were looking at a candidate for the mission. This was years ago. And the wife wasn't there, but the husband was. And we sat down, was talking to the husband, and we started hearing a lot of funny things that were going on, and we realized pretty quick that they were not going to be involved in the mission. But we did want to encourage them to keep living for God. And after a while, their daughter came home, and he didn't say anything to us, but the daughter came in and went and sat right next to the father. And, you know, we don't see anything wrong with that. But to the father, he thought, that's weird. That's strange. And then a little while later, the girl went upstairs. And then he confided in us. He said, you know, my daughter is usually very friendly to anybody who comes in the house. And the daughter went right over to me. Very unusual. And now she's upstairs. I don't know what's wrong with her. We didn't think anything of it until after we had left the house. And the Lord told me, she is demon-possessed. I would never have said that about anyone. You know, I'd never met this girl before. But all of a sudden the Lord said, she was demon-possessed. We knew a little bit about her past history because the father was telling some things. There was a lot of issues in that family. But we realized, putting all the pieces together, this girl was demon-possessed. He could not figure out why that girl had not come and talked to us, because she talks to everyone that comes in the house, but wouldn't talk to us. We've been on the mission field, and we have seen just our presence to knock spirits out. That's power. You do not realize how much power you have as you walk across this earth. Yes, the people that aren't Christians or not following God, they're spiritually blind. They're spiritually blind to the things of God. They're spiritually blind to the things of Satan. They do not know about spiritual warfare at all. But as we show up in a room, as we go to our place of work, where we are, we shine. And Satan does not like the light. He likes darkness. And you see people that do not like the light. They like to live in the darkness. But we are lights, and we are shining testimonies for God, even if we don't say a word, because of the power that is in us. Watch out when we open our mouth. And we do need to watch out, because some things we say we shouldn't. But you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and live in you. And everywhere you go, God is with you. And even when the places that you go that you don't feel very comfortable in, God is with you. When you walk into situations, just say, I wish there was someone else here doing this instead of me. Think of the power that you represent, that you stand for. And you shall be my witnesses. What more glorious position than that than to be a representative for Jesus Christ? We represent the mission, and we want to represent the people that need to hear about Christ. But wherever we go, we are God's representatives. And just because we're not in the north doesn't mean we can turn down the volume on our story. We need to keep that presence going. When I came down last April, I went and was talking to a bunch of people I hadn't met before, and they were kind of Christian. They had followed in a church and like this. But they looked at me and said, Dave, how can you be so positive about God? How do you know that God is always with you every step of the way? I don't feel like that. You have to use the power in order to know what the power can do. if you never turn up the speakers on your system, you never know how loud it will get. And I don't recommend doing it, but unless you're out in the country, you don't have to worry about it. But how much power, and just like your vehicle, you don't know how fast your car can go. Unless you've been speeding too fast. how far does that pedal go down? How high does the speedometer go up? You don't know. And that's the way we are in Christ. We don't realize how much power we actually have available to us. And that's why with this power, you're going to be His witnesses where? In Jerusalem. And we know that part. In Jerusalem is where they were. That's where Jesus told them to wait. You're going to start up in Jerusalem. You're going to start in the city. Then you're going to work out to the country. Then you're going to work into other regions. And that's another continents. And it will just spread. And we look at the first century church and how God used persecution to drive the people out of Jerusalem to get the message out to the other places. And now we look back at Jerusalem and then we say, where is the church of God now? It's there, but not as strong as it was. Canada, huge, huge continent. And a lot of us haven't been over this whole terrain. And as I think of when we were in Great Whale and able to look out at the Hudson Bay, we couldn't even see across the bay. It's huge. It's the largest bay in the world. But we did enjoy the view. We did enjoy that. But when you think of just the hugeness, and as a mission, here you are trying to go out and give the gospel to Northern Canada. How are you going to do it? I like Phil's reaction there. That's impossible. But we have the power. And we do just have to turn up the volume and get the gospel out. So what does that mean for each one of us? We need to recognize that power that we have. And yeah, maybe you're not a preacher. And maybe you don't feel like you're a missionary. And maybe you don't feel like you can give out the gospel. Maybe your setting is down low. But I tell you, everywhere you go, you shine. The question is, how strong do you shine? When I go to places and people find out about me, it's not very long before they realize that I'm a Christian. Why? Because I tell them I'm a Christian? No. Because they start looking at your life. What are you doing? What do you mean you go to church? What does that mean? A lot of people don't understand that. They look at all churches as kind of a cult or a social club. What does that mean? And when you say church, are you just going to a building? Are you going to a family? And I mean, churches need to get on the ball too and start realizing that we're not just a clique or not just a social group, but we're family. When one person suffers, we all suffer. When one person rejoices, we all rejoice. We should be like a family. We care about people not because of what they have to bring, but because they're God's family. Power to love. Power to talk. Power to live. We have that all in us, but we need to use it. As people get to know us at the work site, they should see that we don't live like they do. We don't act like they do. And the biggest thing that we have, and we kind of put that down low too, is the word hope. We know what's going to happen to this earth. And as brought up this morning, was talking about the Arabs and how this militant group of Arabs are trying to take over the world like this. And we can all get caught up in it and feel like, yeah, we got to do something. But you know, when I come across an Arab person, I look at that person as a child that God has created. God loves that person. And even though that person doesn't agree with me, and even though they may not like what I'm doing, God loves that person. I have the power to love that person. And it's not my power. Think about that. As we go to our work site, do we show love to people who don't love us? Do we care about people who don't care for us? In our village, we had a lot of people that really didn't like us being there. And we had a lot of people that thought we were wasting our time. But I remember the last few days, my neighbor, who happens to be a drug dealer, he said, Dave, we're going to miss you. A drug dealer telling that they're going to miss you. That doesn't compute on the human side. But that's the power that we have. We will be touching lives. And even though those people never shall we say, get to hear John 3:16 spoken by our lips. Even though they may never see us crack a Bible open in front of them, even though we may never, shall we say, pray for them in front of them, they will know that we love them. They will know that we have something that they need to have, and they'll be drawn. Not all of us are preachers. Not all of us are missionaries to go to foreign fields. Not all of us are evangelists. But all of us are children of God, and all of us have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And that power will speak even when we don't. And people will see a difference in our life. And as we start using that power, as we start turning up the switch, God will start making us into the people He wants us to be. It's not one big step, and that's what a lot of people say, oh, I wish we could put on, you know, like was talked about earlier today, the event that happened at Western University, and how through Brandon and the group they was with, they were just starting off with just a small group, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger, more people started coming. But just one little event that God used to make it into a big event, what's God going to do with that? That's His business. Whether it becomes an annual thing or maybe just a one-time thing, we don't know. That's God's business. But God got a lot of young people stirred up about Him. And God did that. Just through some simple people doing simple things, God got the credit. It's little steps that we take that make the big step. People see it as a big step, but it's just a little progression of things. And I think of the mission team. Every year they came back to Kujarpik, there was one more thing added to it. One more thing added to it. And we see where it went to. And now, you know, the question is there room in there for another trip this year? And I see the logistics and I see the impossibility, but I also know God can work that out if He wants to. But if God chooses not to send a team back there this year, that's His plan too. And we cannot say just because that's what we've always done, that's what we'll continue to do. God can stop things, He can start things. But it's God's ministry. And we never should think of ourselves as being the one putting that ministry together. And I like what Brandon said. It was a group of them. It wasn't one person's idea. It was a group that got together. It's God's ministry. God will use us. God has given us the power. And He just gives us the power just to say, okay, now you have the power to be, have the right to be called the sons of God. No, He's given us the power to be able to proclaim His gospel to the other parts of the world. How God decides to use that in us is His business. And we're not looking for everybody to be exactly like someone else. But we're looking for people that are willing to trust God, step out a little bit, give Him the power that He's given to you, and use it for Him. Going back to the beginning of the verse. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If the Holy Spirit is upon you, you have the power. What are you going to do with it? Let's pray. Lord, we do consider it a great privilege to be Your children. And we consider it a privilege to be part of Your plan and to know that after this life is over, You have another great life waiting for us. And You have built mansions for us. And You have prepared that place for us. But Lord, while we're here on earth, our faith is weak. And we don't see all these things. And we have trouble and we stumble. And Satan gets the best of us. But Lord, help us to change that. Help us to be the people You want us to be. Help us to use the power that You have given us, that we may become Your people and be able to speak Your truth. Help us to think about what You would have us to do. And let us not be content with just being where we are, but that we continue to grow and that our lights would shine and that we would be able to proclaim to everybody that Jesus is Lord, and that we serve a strong and mighty God. Amen.